Welcome to Bothy Project's 2021 Neighbourhood Residency Podcasts. My name is Leslie Young and I work for Bothy Project. We're a small arts organisation which hosts creative residencies for artists, writers, musicians and other creative people at Inshriach Bothy in the Cairngorms and at Sweeney's Bothy on the Isle of Egg. Our Bothys are small-scale buildings designed for one person to live and work in for short periods of time. They are off-grid and set within distinct landscapes. Inshriach is in a native woodland and Sweeney's on a croft with a view to the sea. Since we started in 2011, artists have used their time on residency to draw, paint, compose, finish books and plan new projects. Although some people have just spent time thinking, connecting with the landscape and appreciating time away from most modern conveniences. The Neighbourhood Residencies project differed from our normal residencies by the fact they were open to people from all walks of life as long as they lived in the neighbourhood of our Bothies. We invited people from Badenoch and Strathspey and the Small Isles. Badenoch and Strathspey is the area in the shadow of the Cairngorms which follows the River Spey from Newton Moor to Granton-on-Spey. And the Small Isles are the Inner Hebridean islands of Egg, Rum, Canna and Muck. We were also able to involve people from the Assent and Coigach area in the far northwest of Scotland. We did this by working with the Assent Foundation, who kindly allowed the use of the Assent Art Studio for the project. Selected from an open call, the 9 participants, 3 from each area, spent roughly a week alone on residency and then participated in conversations with the other residents, initially to discuss the similarities and differences of life where they live, then going on to explore bigger issues. We hope you enjoy these insights. This podcast, Going Slow on the Fast Lane to Sulven, involves 6 of the participants discussing the importance of community and their connections with nature. But let's begin by quickly introducing all 9 participants. Nora Barnes, Fliss Fraser and Ishbel McKinnon, who all live in the Small Isles. Robin Braham, Sarah Hobbs and Robbie Singh, who live in Badenoch and Strathspey. But first, Katrina Martin, Sarah Bernstein and Monica Strell, who are from Assent and Coigach.
So yeah, I'm Kat and I live in Achmelvich, which is 4 miles outside the main village of Assent, which is Loch Inver. I've been here for almost 5 years now, and for that time I've been working for the Scottish Wildlife Trust as an education manager for the Outdoor and Woodland Learning project of the Coigach and Assent Living Landscape Partnership. So this is a community partnership project which aims to bring environmental and economic benefits to the area. I'm also a mindfulness practitioner and guide. For me, nature connection and mindfulness is intrinsically linked. And yeah, so these are really important topics to me.
Hi, I'm Sarah Bernstein and I live in Achiltibuie in Wester Ross. I've lived here for about 2 years now. I'm a writer, teacher, and also, as of a couple of weeks ago, a beginning crofter. I have 10 sheep now. And I'm also a member of Living Rent, Scotland's Tenants Union.
My name is Monica Strell. I'm originally from Austria, but I came to live in Scotland 22 years ago. And since 2008, I've lived in Essend. And I was lucky enough to work online. I've always worked online for the last 15 years in social media, so I could bring my work with me and work from here, which was a real benefit. Over the last 2 years, I really wanted to go a bit more into my passion for nature. So I trained as a natural mindfulness guide and then as an interfaith minister and celebrant.
So I'd like to welcome Sarah Hobbs, Robbie Singh and Robin Braham.
My name is Sarah Hobbs. I live in Aviemore and I work for the Communities Housing Trust. We work with communities all over, mostly the north of Scotland, to develop sort of affordable housing projects. And on the side, I also run Strathspey Story Walks. So they're public walks for local folk and for visitors as well. And it's sort of a bit of culture, a bit of history, a bit of foraging, a bit of storytelling, sometimes a bit of song as well.
Hi, my name's Robbie Singh and I live in a small village called Nethy Bridge, which is about halfway between Aviemore and Granton-on-Spey. I'm an artist. I work in performing arts, contemporary performance, mainly in projects that are physical in nature in some way. I could call myself a choreographer, So I often work with people from diverse backgrounds, creating performance for sometimes theatre, often outdoors spaces, museums, galleries. And I suppose being based here in Nethy Bridge, the contemporary choreography scene is not massive. But, you know, I'm working on that.
I'm Robin Braham. I'm originally from Edinburgh, but I've been living in Aviemore for about 3.5 years now. I studied photography back in my 20s, early 20s. But I'm now working for University of Highlands and Islands as an instructional designer. So basically creating e-learning resources, which turned out to be a very good career move 2 months before a global pandemic where everyone suddenly had to learn from home.
That was great to hear from the three of you. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And it'll be great to continue the conversations between you three and also with the other residents. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wonder if we could just kind of start by asking each of you to introduce yourselves. Nora, maybe if we start with you.
Sure. Hi, I'm Nora. I've lived on Egg for nearly 17 years now. My background is in environmental science, and I love everything to do with wildlife and nature. That's my main area of interest. We've raised our family here. We've got three teenagers now that have all grown up on the island. We moved here to set up an eco centre, the Earth Connections Eco Centre, where we've run courses and workshops. And I've been working as the ranger on Egg as well for the last 3 years, which has been a great chance to get to know the island a bit more. So yes, you're always juggling different jobs living on an island.
Hi, I'm Fliss. I live on the Isle of Rum. I've lived here for about 21 years and also brought my children up here as well. I've got three girls. I originally came here to work for Scottish Natural Heritage, but that period's over now, and I run a little B&B, and I've got a little craft shop and a little holiday let, and I've also worked in community development for the last pretty much all the time I've been here. I was kind of inspired by this little group of fiery people to kind of help move things on, really, and that's what I've done. So there you go.
Perfect, thanks. Ishbel?
Hi, so I'm Ishbel McKinnon. So I'm from the Isle of Canna. Well, I'm actually from the Isle of Canna, but I've lived away for most of my adult life, and I've just been back on the island for 6 years now. I run the campsite and bunkhouse, but really what I like doing is working with sheep and cattle. At any opportunity, I dump the campers and go off with my dog to move sheep around. And a bit like Fliss and Nora, you know, involved in community development. And I think we're all passionate about our islands and what helps make them sustainable. We just want to make them really successful and make sure that everybody's got lots of opportunity. So, yeah, that's what we do.
Over this short series of podcasts, you'll get to know more about the 9 participants and the areas they live in. You'll hear about what they appreciate and value, as well as the challenges. And you might even hear about some of the solutions they come up with. In the first podcast, Going Slow on the Fast Lane to Sulven, Monica from Ascent, Robin, Sarah Hobbs and Robbie from Badenoch and Strathspey, and Nora from the Small Isles discuss the importance of community and connecting with nature.
So Sarah, I think you were the sort of one that kind of that proposed the topic. So do you want to kind of talk a little bit about how, like, what made you feel that it was prescient to what we were kind of looking at and what you wanted to sort of investigate?
Yeah, I think as I listened to, you know, everybody, all of the residency participants in the shared conversations that we've been having, you know, we're all very interested in nature. We spend a lot of our time outdoors. Something that Kat and Monica both mentioned in your chat, small experiences being really, really beautiful and being really valuable, and how really close observation on something really small can be quite a big experience. It doesn't need to be a big thing that you witness for it to be actually quite a big experience for you. And I think we've all had, quite amazing and deep micro experiences when we've been at the Bothies, deepening our connections and relationships with mm-hmm. nature, which, and that totally resonated with me. I mean, it's in my personal life and also why I started story walks. And
I guess just hearing what you've, reflecting back on what you've just said, as the years have gone on, I just strongly feel that we are nature, we're a part of nature, and we have this thing where we've separated ourselves from it. And so, of course, it's natural to be fascinated by the world around us. And we've sort of created these artificial setups where we live within four walls and we get in boxes that drive from A to B, and then we get out of those boxes and enter another area of four walls. And being on our residencies, where we had to be outside, having those opportunities, especially when we're younger, to get that inherent connection within us happening, so that it can unfold naturally, is so important, because that is what we're kind of increasingly losing.
Yeah, that I think at some point during my residency, I realised that I'd been sitting staring at the river for, I don't know how long it was, because I didn't look at my phone, but it felt like forever. It was quite interesting.
I do the guided walks that I do on Egg in the summer. I get a lot of people who think it's a stomping fast walk, you know, we're going to go and do a hill walk. And so I always have to say, you know, this walk is a nature walk, and we're going to be going slow, and we're going to be looking at things. But most people really appreciate it. And I always get comments saying, oh, I actually saw things, you know, I saw things I've never seen before. Mm. And it's a lesson I've learned. You do need to slow down.
Mm-hmm. The Ascent Bothy, the Glenkennis yeah. Art Studio, is actually on the path to Sylvan, which is the iconic mountain in Ascent. And actually on the first day I was there, I walked part of that path, and I decided to walk it very slowly. I was going slow on the fast lane to Sylvan, and it was very awkward to be that slow. And I really felt it, how I was totally out of sync with everybody else. They were all on a mission. They were all cladded out in proper mountaineering gear, and I wasn't. And it really made me aware that, being different, going slower, doing something else, that is quite daring. Essen is a very remote area. There are some pockets where everybody seems to congregate. And there's so many pockets where there's nobody. There are no visitors. There are also no locals. And I think coming back to community, that has bothered me over the years I've lived here, how few local people I see out in nature. There are definitely whole demographic groups who just either don't feel the affinity or don't find it accessible or don't dare to go out.
That's quite interesting, because I think that's quite different to Aviemore. Everyone's all about getting out and also kind of trying to encourage, I guess, like accessibility and making it the sort of welcoming place for maybe like groups that don't necessarily feel like the outdoors is that much of a welcoming space for them. So it seems strange that someone could live somewhere like Ascent and not have that as a huge part of their everyday lives.
There's quite a lot of people here who like extreme exercise and sport, which I do not identify with at all. And I find it quite off-putting and quite scary. But I love the outdoors. I love being in the outdoors in my own way. It kind of picks up, Monica, on what you were saying. And I kind of feel like it's quite radical to be doing something in a really slow way or in a really micro way or whatnot. I think there's just so many ways of being in the outdoors.
It's like something that you kind of want to get out more into the sort of common understanding of people across the country, that like, yeah, great, like come here and be part of it, but take the time to slow down, to understand it.
Yeah, there's a nice play on the phrase apart, you know, we're not apart from nature, we are a part of nature. And just, yeah, you know, everyone's at different levels of understanding, but
I think probably the implicit thing that we possibly are all assuming here is that we hope or we wish that this closer connection with nature is lends itself to then caring or nurturing more, I guess, our relationships with ourselves, as well as our communities, as well as the planet. And none of that would happen unless we actually observe and learn and understand. And I don't know, I feel like it hasn't been spoken yet, but I feel like it's that,
yeah absolutely,
probably quite an important part of it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I think that for me personally, that really resonates because it comes back to when you slow down, you're not only observing externally, but you're observing internally as well. And you're really listening to yourself and allowing processing of emotions and connection with your body, getting out of the head. And essentially, the buzzword is mindfulness. But just, yeah, becoming more present with your own self and holding space for that as well. And yeah, I guess I'm hopeful that with that encouragement of us to slow down, to get outdoors and stuff, that will gradually have this sort of shift for us as a community, for us as a species, that will help us become more in tune.
I feel like a lot of what we're talking about is, you know, it's positive. We're acknowledging a real positive action or actions that we can take to make ourselves feel better and to make life more enjoyable, tolerable sometimes even. And in sort of 21st century capitalist society where we're sort of being pushed at this pace, certainly my experience, to try and, you know, be able to make enough money to survive and do whatever it is you're doing to try and sustain yourself and your family and so on. I think it's quite telling that often these things of taking time for yourself, being outside, you know, slowing down, they can seem quite indulgent, or they can they're often not like a priority, and you know, it's always about the next thing. And so I suppose it is an act of resistance for me to try and find practical ways to do those things, whether it's within your own work and your own sector, and then like finding ways to bring that into community projects so that we can feel like we're in control in some way, so that we have, you know, an agency. How can we provide like alternative ways of being, or like encourage alternative ways of being in our societies, in our communities, with each other? Because we all know that connecting with nature is a positive thing to do, but how do we do it? How do we do it more? How do we not sort of refer to it as a luxury or a, you know, sort of out of the norm? My big question.
It's a good question, because I think we could all fairly easily, or at least with a bit of difficulty, make time for it in our personal lives. But then in our working lives, it becomes that much more difficult. And then in everything, you know, in all of the aspects of our lives, then it becomes extremely difficult to build in a different way of doing something.
Not to get all conspiracy theory, but you do have to slightly wonder, given the sort of society that we live in, if this idea of the like commodification of nature, and that spending time just being really slow in nature helps with people not maybe standing up for the land and the wildlife and stuff as much. You know, the more the people had sort of what was a personal relationship, the more that they would feel personally aggrieved by things happening. And, you know, by kind of the majority of people living in cities maybe never having that sort of education like Kat's giving, and you know, doing these sorts of things, they don't have any sense of connection. So when more and more land is lost, people don't really feel it personally. They just are like, oh yeah, well, that's just what happens. Like, you know, like housing obviously is needed. I think it'd be, you know, like, fair, like, it'd be nice if there could be, we're going to build houses, but we're going to try and leave like as much of what's there there. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, these wildflowers that have been growing there for however long, doing their thing, you know, or, you know, the flowers that come through like one after the other, like there'll be like a carpet of little tiny blue flowers, mm-hmm. I think are called speedwell. And then there's yellow ones that come, and then the sort of the white ones, and then the last ones are the, it's called the devil something. They're like long and purple, like pom poms from like Dr. Seuss.
Scabious.
And it's like, yes.
Devil bit scabious.
Yeah.
And like with your houses, Robin, you know, there should be room for everything, for houses and nature. But it needs people to talk to each other and do planning, doesn't it? And there's that whole idea of growing things around houses, and like especially in urban areas, where you can just grow things, you know, by the paths, have apple trees growing that people can collect, and have brambles growing wild, you know, not having everything manicured. That's another way that people can access nature is through food. And it can just be right on your doorstep.
It strikes me how much open land there is around here and how little apparently control or involvement or sort of cooperative management or engagement, like in terms of having an agency, that there is in this area. I feel like there's a communal kind of control that needs to be found, that can be small steps as a kind of like antidote or a kind of defiance or a counter, whatever the word is, to these big housing developments, to seeing endless houses going up without gardens, to feeling like all of the land is just run by huge charities or big landowners. Like, we need to find these small acts of physical communal participation, I think, that can kind of, they can kind of be a vessel, I think, for tackling a lot of the well-being and slowness and pace issues that we've been touching on.
Yeah, and whether that's growing or whether it's just trying to convince the council to stop mowing.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
So they save money and we get lots of wildflowers and we get lots more insects, whatever it is. All of these tiny things.
Well, on Egg, we're lucky because we are a community and we do run things together. So there is much more of that sense here. And we have a community orchard and people work together. I mean, it all needs planning and it doesn't always work out, but you know, we all have that same intent of wanting to do something as a community, and being outside and making your own food all come together really nicely.
I think Essend and Coyach, or Essend itself, is such a large area, I think, and there are so many people spread out. I think bringing people for a common effort is actually really, really hard. And I think that always strikes me when we talk about community, as if it was something that was really coherent and which you could describe, you know, by a few characteristics. But, you know, we have everything here from poor and rich and young and old and incomers and locals and working people and retired people and very private people to very social people. And actually, that's not then always easy to get things started with a sort of critical mass. And again, Essen is actually very small in terms of population. Sometimes you need that critical mass. I think we might be missing. I would be interested to compare that with, you know, Aviemore. If you start something, an initiative, do you have more people who might be willing to join? And how does it compare to Egg, where again, you know, maybe you're just lacking the people who could join in, even with the best of things?
You'll have some people who are like kind of the ones that always get involved, that always do the work. You'll maybe have a few other people who will turn up to meetings, say they're going to do stuff and never do it. And then other people who don't understand why anyone would do anything if they weren't personally benefiting from it, and are therefore very suspicious and assume that everyone who is doing something with the community trust must be like in it for themselves. I think with Egg, I imagine it's quite different because it's a whole island. It's not just like the community trust of this sort of wee village that's trying to kind of get whatever done.
Yeah, because, well, we have the Egg Heritage Trust who sort of oversee things, but it's really the residents' association that guide everything. And that is, it's everyone. You know, everyone who lives here has a say at community meetings. The problem with us is, it's usually the same people doing a lot of community things and needing more people to do projects, because we've got a lot of projects happening, and we're kind of at that point where if you want to do more, then we do need more people with different skills. you've also just got daily living to get on with as well, as doing and doing possibly a one or two part-time jobs and then, you know, all this extra community stuff as well. So that it's a lot of juggling. So yeah, having extra help is something that we're always looking at.
But I think that's a really good place to kind of sort of draw a kind of conclusion to this discussion, because the next two discussions are going to cover the sort of, they're going to be framed around the idea of living and also working within the kind of context that you sort of nine participants kind of understand and know. So thanks so much for your contributions kind of this afternoon. Really kind of like fantastic and diverse, and give yourself a clap.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you for listening to the first Neighbourhood Residency podcast. The title, Going Slow on the Fast Lane to Sulven, is courtesy of resident Monica Strell. Further episodes will be available soon. One which explores the contrasts of living and working in the three neighbourhoods, and another where the residents talk about their time on residency. The residencies followed Scottish Government COVID guidelines, and all conversation between residents took place remotely. The neighbourhood residencies were initiated by Bothy Project in partnership with the Small Isles Community Council, the Isle of Egg Residents Association, the Ascent Foundation and Cairngorms National Park Authority. The project has been supported by Creative Scotland, Cairngorms National Park Authority and Highland Council. The podcasts were edited by Jen Martin and mastered by David Maxwell.